I don't know the name of the ministry that you're involved with now. Encountering the World of Islam. Well, we're happy to have him back. I remember when he left, believe it or not, Daryl Baugh was standing up there. The chairs and seats were this way, and we faced like this. And he's still skinny, little skinny guy. Got up and said, "I'm leaving." Anyway, we're glad you're back. Come on up here and share with us, Jamie.
Good morning, gentlemen. As Bob Ed alluded to, for those that may not know me, my name is Jamie. I used to work at Ball Aerospace, and God called me to quit that, go to seminary, and then move to Bolivia to be a church planter among the Quechua people for 13 years. We came back in 2016, and I'm now director or coordinator of the all 22 Spanish-speaking countries training missionaries to go serve in the Muslim world in the 1040 window. So, but I'm not talking about that today. A lot of you wanted me to, but they said everybody was giving their testimony. Says, we need someone to come give the word, so I'll give a testimony another day. It's a long one anyways. Well, just as a disclaimer, I was in a meeting yesterday afternoon till about 7, and then 7:30 I got a phone call from the paramedics. My 96-year-old dad took a fall, so I rushed over to his apartment and spent the night there, a chair beside his bed. He's fine, he's doing okay, but I haven't slept in 2 days, so I'm not quite as prepared. I wanted to prepare last night, not quite as prepared or alert as I wanted to be, but bear with me. God is good, because my dad's, he's 96 and still independent living. He's not assisted living, he's still independent, so praise God. Okay, we're coming out of the Christmas season, January and New Year, 2024. But I wanted to start out with this Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 that says, "For to us a child was born, for us a son was given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So this talks to us about a son being born, which of course is Jesus. Many of us, or many people, think that of Jesus as coming on the scene as a baby in Bethlehem at Christmas. But let's look at the book of John, starting with verse 1. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." My first question is, What's it talking about, the beginning? What was the beginning? It's talking about the beginning of creation, not the beginning of the Word. Because, as we'll see, well, the next question would be then, who or what is the Word in this passage? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So, who or what is the Word? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is the pre-existent, eternal, no beginning, no end, God. Like I said in the beginning, we think of Jesus coming on the scene as a baby. Well, Jesus is pre-existence. He always was and always will be. So that's the first point we want to make. Then we go into verse 3, and it says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." So when we read in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, what comes to mind when we read Genesis 1 and 2? The creation story. What comes to mind? In my mind, it always came to, there's Father God creating all creation. But what does it say? It says, through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus is not only the pre-existent, eternal God, together with God the Father, he is also co-creator, which a lot of times we don't think of Jesus as being the co-creator. Because through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that had been made. So Jesus, along with the Holy Spirit, was all a part of the creation. In Colossians 1:17, he says, it also says, He, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things are held together. So then that's another point. He's not only always was with the Father at all time, he's not only the co-creator with God the Father, but he sustains and holds creation together. Something has to make all this planets circle and do their thing with gravity or non-gravity and all that. And that's Jesus, who holds all things together. I'm just trying to bring out all these points about, sometimes we like to compartmentalize. There's God the Father, there's Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They're separate, they don't do this, but no. They're in unity. They're always in perfect unity. Okay, back to the book of John, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome him. There was a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. This is a passage that, for me, that you got to really dig into when it's talking. What's it talking about? He's the light. Is it talking about physical light? Possibly. But I think it's about the enlightening of our hearts. He illuminates our minds and our hearts so we can understand Scripture. And when God the Father is explaining who he is through the entire Bible, this light is what illuminates and helps us to know who God is. The true light, Jesus, gives light to everyone, it also says, light to all. But only some receive this light. We'll see that in this next passage. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So Jesus left his glory in heaven to come to earth, to live his life, to show the way, to give us his words. He came to his own people. That means if you dig into it about his own, and his own did not receive him. But it's way past just the Jewish people that did not receive him. Look at our world today. Largely, the world is rejecting the light that's rejecting Jesus. Let's talk about those who receive him, or as Jesus says, those who do receive him, that Jesus calls born again. In John 3:3, Jesus replied, "Verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again." And in Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." I remember many years ago, I was the first in my family to become a Christian, and witnessed to my brothers and sisters for decades before some of them finally came to the Lord. And my sister was one of the earlier ones, and she went to church, and she, only God knows, but it's what I call a carnal Christian. She goes to church every Sunday, but rarely cracks the word of God. And she was talking to some of her friends. She says, but I'm not one of those born again Christians, thinking of it as a bad word. I was like, that's one of those crazies like my brother. I'm not one of those born again. So I got my Bible out, which she doesn't read, and showed her these passages. Unless you were born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I said, are you not saved? You better reread this and rethink when you start telling people you're not born again. And her eyes got about that big around. Like, oh, I didn't realize that. I must be born again. Yeah. In John 20:22, and he says, and with that he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. That he's talking to his disciples in that room, upper room, where the Holy Spirit first indwelt people. Holy Spirit's always been around, even in the Old Testament, but he was only endowed on people in certain instances for certain things. But when Jesus breathed on the disciples, the Holy Spirit entered and now lives in all who believe. In John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. That's talking more about the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us not only to sanctify us, that's one of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit, to change us to be more like Christ, but it's to remind us of what we've read in God's holy, precious word, to bring that up, and that we can use that when we're talking to friends. It's amazing. You can be talking to one of your friends or coworkers or sometime, and someone will be going through something, and the scripture will pop out of your head and you'll share it to comfort your brother, your friend. And you'll say, I didn't even know I had that scripture memorized. Where'd that come from? That's the Holy Spirit working in us. It says, I'll remind you of all these things. So we have a helper, a counselor, the Holy Spirit, that reminds us of everything we've ever read, even though, you know, we read it, we forget it, we read it, forget it. But when the time is right and when God wants it and there's somebody he wants you to talk to, he's going to remind you. I mean, he told his disciples in the persecution, don't worry about what you will say. I will give you those words in that time. Okay, let's put this all together. I've done a lot of different jumping around about different roles of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Let's put it together and get down to the relevance of the things I'm talking about that I wanted to bring out as the main point today. Everyone here and everyone has either a parent or a son, a daughter, grandchildren, uncles, aunts, friends, neighbors, co-workers who do not know Jesus or have not accepted him as their Lord and Savior. They'll not be going to heaven when they die. They'll perish in hell in the lake of fire. We don't know when that day will be. It could be today. It could be tomorrow, it could be 10 years. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. But just that thought, I have family members that don't know the Lord, and that grieves my heart. And my daughter's one of those. She was raised, I was a single parent. I raised her in the church and baptized her when she was 9. And she's been away from the Lord for more than 20 years. And I don't know, God knows, but in my heart I said, did she ever really know what she's doing? Is she even really saved? So my prayer is not, will you come back? I just pray the Lord touch her and save her, because I don't know. And that grieves my heart. And I think all of us have a child, grandchild, parent, uncle, aunt, coworker that doesn't know the Lord. We're here as God's messengers. So we need to be sharing his word. The disciples, along with the believers, this is the great commandment, Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore, and go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. As born-again believers, we have the Holy Spirit, the light of Jesus, living in us. We're not alone. Jesus said, and surely I, Jesus, am with you always to the very end of the age. And John also said the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything Jesus has said. So we get intimidated. Well, I don't know how to lead someone to Christ. I don't know how they're going to react. They might hate me. It doesn't matter. Where are they going? Where's their eternity? And when they reject, they're not rejecting me. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. So we let the scorn, let the ridicule just wash off like water on a duck's back. They're rejecting God. But our job of every Christian is to share that with the good news of Jesus Christ with everybody. So what's holding us back from proclaiming the gospel, sharing the good news of Christ with our loved ones, friends, and the rest of the world? If we have fear of rejection, remember they're not rejecting us, we're rejecting God's word, God and his word. There's a passage in Isaiah 41:10 that says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." So I'm going to end this message, this piecemeal message, but good one that we all need to hear, with a response, what our response to God should be for the gift he's given us, for our salvation, eternity with him, for the gift of Holy Spirit that lives in us. So I've got a book here on heaven by Dr. Jeremiah, and just a whole, there's like five or six passages I like to read that tells or reflects our what our attitude should be for what God has done for us. In Psalm 30:12, "I will give thanks to you forever." That's not just here on this earth. We've got all eternity to give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ around the throne, casting our crowns. In Psalm 44:8, "In God we boast all day long, and I praise your name forever." Psalm 45:17, "Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever." Psalm 52:9, "I will praise you forever." Psalm 61, "I will sing praise to your name forever." Psalm 72, "And blessed is his glorious name forever." Psalm 86:12, "I will praise you, O Lord God, with all my heart," with all of my heart. "I will glorify your name forever." Psalm 91, "I will sing of your steadfast love and mercies forever." Psalm 89, "Blessed is the Lord forever. Amen and amen." Psalm 113, "Blessed is the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever." Psalm 115, "But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord." Psalm 145, "I will extol you, O my God, O King, and bless your name forever and ever." And Psalm 145, 21, "My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall be his name forever." And there's a quote. I'm just going to read this paragraph here. It's outside the words of the Bible. "The most famous definition of worship I've read comes from the pen of William Temple, who served as Archbishop of Canterbury during the difficult wars of World War II. He wrote, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. This describes the worship in heaven, and it should be the goal of every worshiper here on earth." So let us do what the Bible commands us to do. Praise and worship God all times. In the good and the bad and the ugly, God is good in all times. But let us be obedient to his word as well and get rid of our fears, our inhibitions, and share that with those loved ones and neighbors and people that we want to be in eternity with, but we know pretty sure that they're not right now. So I'm just wanting to encourage us all, myself included. I mean, I live in a little townhome area where people drive into their garages, the door goes up, the door is down, they got a car. I ran over to my next door neighbor the other day. The door went up. My wife and I walked over and the garage was going down. And he saw us coming over and he opened back up and says, I just want to introduce myself. And it's like, I've lived here since I've come back in 2016. I haven't even met you. So we live in a crazy world, an individual world. We don't always have we're working out in the yard next to your neighbor and saying, hey, neighbor, how you doing? It's hard, and I need to be more diligent of doing that, going out of my way to meet my neighbors, to share the love of Christ and to everybody. So let's pray. Almighty Father God, we praise you. We praise you that you hold all things together, that Jesus, you made all things, hold all things together along with the Father, that you gave us your Holy Spirit. We are born again, we're filled with your Spirit. Your Spirit will remind us and bring to mind passages we need at the right time in the right place. Take away our inhibitions, Lord. Take away our fears. Fill it with boldness and love and obedience to you that will take your word around the world to our neighbors and to our family and to around the world, Lord. We love you. We need you. We can't function without you. We can't breathe. The air, we thank you for the air that we breathe. Without you, we don't exist. So we all are all to you. Give us the boldness. Kick us in the rear end. Get us going to be the messengers and the people you created us to be. You've given each of us a gift. Help us to use that gift for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.